Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
If you've recently learned you're carrying twins, you may be anxious about your pregnancy, especially after hearing horror stories. You may have had nightmares about being stuck in bed for months, holding tiny babies, or never seeing your waistline again. I'm Joanne Adamczyk, a perinatologist at the San Diego Perinatal Center, and I'm here to set the story straight about twin pregnancies. This is Twin Talks, episode number 4.
The ultrasound shows your babies to be healthy.
What? Did you say babies? You're huge. Are you having twins?
Are they natural?
Which one do you like better?
Twins, huh? My neighbor's cousin's brother's uncle's a twin.
So can they read each other's minds?
How do you tell them apart?
Twins? You got a 2-for-1.
Do twins run in your family?
Double trouble.
You're not having any more, are you?
At least you're not octomom.
If you're pregnant with twins or you're an experienced twin parent, odds are you've heard it all before. Now it's time to hear from the experts. This is Twin Talks, Parenting Times 2. Welcome to Twin Talks, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Twin Talks is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting and new parents of twins. So I'm your host, Christine Stewart Fitzgerald. Have you heard about the Twin Talks Club? Our members get bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. Subscribe to our monthly Twin Talks newsletter and learn about the latest episodes available. And another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Twin Talks app, available in the Android and iTunes marketplace. Right now, I'm going to turn this over to Shelley, our producer, and she would like to tell us a little bit about our new virtual panelist program.
Hi. So there's a few ways to stay connected with us at Twin Talks. You can follow us on Facebook or on Twitter. We also have our new virtual panelist program. If you want to join in the conversation from home, you can just use hashtag TwinTalksVP to stay a part of the discussion.
All right, Shelley. Well, before we get started, I'm going to go around the table today. We've got a full house and introduce our panelists and everyone in the room. Brandy,
hi.
Tell us about your unique situation.
Well, I am Brandy Wallace. I'm the mother of 2 sets of spontaneous twins. My first set are identical boys that will be 4 years old next week. And my second set are boy-girl twins that are 13, almost 14 months. So for a short time, I had 4 children under the age of 3. And I am still sitting upright, just so everyone knows.
It's like, wow. Wow.
Hi, I'm Shelley Steele. I'm a high school history teacher, and I have 2 children, identical twin boys, Grayson and Sawyer, who are 15 months old.
And I'm Sunny Galt. I'm the owner of New Mommy Media, which produces Twin Talks, as well as Preggy Pals, Parent Savers, and the Boob Group. I'm a soon-to-be mom of twins. I actually have 2 little boys at home right now, not twins, 3 years old and 18 months, and I'm pregnant with identical twin girls and due here in about another month.
That's going to be awesome.
So I'm taking notes from all of you ladies today.
And I can imagine your house, it's going to be the boys
it
versus
is.
The girls.
Yes, right? Right?
Two and
I
two.
Get 2 and 2.
And for me as your host, so I've got my twin girls are now 4 years old, so they're pretty close to Brandy's. And then I do have a singleton girl, and she just turned 1. Yay. So all girls in our household.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
So before we start today's show, let's take a look at one of the news headlines that we have today. I just recently read an article that came out from the New England Journal of Medicine where they were looking at comparing twin pregnancies, the C-section versus regular vaginal delivery. And this was done across, I think, 60 different countries with close to 1,400 different twin moms. So it's pretty extensive.
And they're looking at to see, well, you know, what's the overall outcome of twin pregnancies, C-section versus vaginal? Is there a benefit to having a C-section or vaginal? And it came out that it was essentially the same when it came to morbidity rate. Maybe I'm going to turn it over to our expert today. Do you have any comments about, you know, what types of recommendations that you might make to your patients, or what does this mean for you?
Sure. Thanks. I mean, it's wonderful that a study like this got published in the New England Journal of Medicine, a very reputable journal as far as the medical community is concerned. And the fact that they showed basically information that we have known, that vaginal delivery is absolutely safe in twin pregnancies. And I think it should be highlighted that, it doesn't apply to all twins. You know, really matters whether baby A, so the first baby, is in the head down position. And if baby A is in the head down position, then absolutely, you know, vaginal delivery is always, in my opinion, safest for mom and safest for baby.
That's great news. Because I know some moms, and I know we're going to get into this later on, but often we're under the impression that if you have twins, it's not even an option to have a vaginal birth. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I get a lot of patients in the office who kind of come in with this preconceived notion that, oh, I have to have a C-section. And, you know, it's good that we're here to kind of set the story straight that, no, you really don't.
Yes. So I'm going to go now to our panelists. Now, I know some of us have had C-sections and vaginal. I mean, knowing that there isn't, I mean, the recent news says that there's really no difference. Would that influence your decision, knowing what you know now, if you were, I mean, having twins? Or, and maybe throw this out to Sunny, does that affect, you know, your decision-making at all?
You know, it doesn't really affect me so much because I am going to have a C-section. It's already been scheduled. But the reason we did that, my first baby, my first boy, was a vaginal birth. But we had some complications from that. And they basically said you could be damaged for a long time, beyond repair, really, if you have more vaginal births. So my second was a cesarean. And it was a tough, you know, call. I mean, obviously, I didn't want to get more injured, so it really wasn't too much of a decision for me to make. It was more like, okay, I just need to do this. Mm-hmm. But I think the process for me of letting go of the vaginal birth, because it was such a good experience, I didn't know that all those complications were happening mm-hmm. until after. So the actual experience of having a vaginal birth was so good for me. Really, the process of understanding and coming to terms with having a C-section really happened between baby one and baby two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so with the twins, if it were in the cards, if it were something, if I hadn't had that with baby one, the whole issue, I definitely would be going for a vaginal birth. In fact, last night, it's so funny that we're talking about this today because I was actually on YouTube and I thought, I'm just going to Google like vaginal birth. And actually something came up for vaginal birth with triplets.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And it was fascinating. And I'm sure you could just Google, you know, vaginal birth triplets on YouTube. And baby A came out head down. So everything was fine with that. Baby B was breech, but they were able to, you know, bring the baby out, and baby C was head down as well. And I'm just watching this happening going, oh my gosh, if she can do this, like, we could do this with twins, totally.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. If she can push three babies out, what's two?
It was amazing that, you know, and it just refreshed my memory about how amazing our bodies are to produce not just one baby, two babies, three babies, whatever. I mean, it's just unreal.
Yeah, yeah. I just think this is personally, I mean, such a great thing. I know overall, I mean, here in the United States, I mean, our C-section rate is somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 30%, and it's been rising. And so there are a lot of efforts to just try to reduce that overall. So, I mean, I think it's great within the twin community just to give that incentive and even just the idea that, hey, you can do it. You
right.
know, this is a viable option. And, you know, just consider that. And I think, you know, building the support within the medical institutions and the birthing community to put it out there. So I think that's encouraging.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
To today's topic is debunking myths about twin pregnancy. And we're talking with Joanna Adamczak, a perinatologist at the San Diego Perinatal Center. And she's helped many pregnant twin mamas over the years. So I know we were just kind of talking about, you know, some of the different myths, including that women have to have C-section. But so I'm going to go through this list we have here and look at some of the things that we've maybe been told or maybe we've read on the internet. We've gotten this some piece of like misinformation. So first thing I have is sometimes we hear that a lot of twins and triplets, they tend to hide out and they're not actually discovered until pretty late in the, I mean, second or third trimester. I mean, is that true?
No, it's not really true, especially in this day and age with the quality of ultrasound machines that we have. You know, maybe if you're, let's say, 5 or 6 weeks pregnant, it may be difficult to really appreciate if there is a twin or even a triplet gestation. But the further along you get, especially any time after, let's say, 10 weeks of pregnancy, a good ultrasonographer or radiology center or even our center will be able to pick up twins. So yeah, they don't really hide.
They don't really.
Where are they going to go?
Although I do have to say, though, and this was about 8 weeks for me, so my first prenatal appointment, they didn't see the twins. They just saw one baby.
Same here.
Yeah.
First pregnancy.
Yeah.
So how far along were you when they discovered the second one?
Well, I was 8 weeks when I went for my initial ultrasound. We saw a heartbeat. Tear shed.
Yeah.
Lovely moment.
Right.
And then 4 days later, I had mild spotting. According to the doctor, it was nothing to be concerned with, but being a first-time mom, she knew I was a little stressed about the situation, so she said, just come on in, I'll prove to you everything's okay. Well, what she ended up proving was there was not a baby.
Oh my gosh.
Was your husband with you when that happened?
Okay, so he was there for the first visit where we saw the one heartbeat, happy day. And then for the second one, he says, well, I'll take off work and go with you. I said, no, I'm not going to be that girl. You don't need to come for every little hiccup and thing along the way. No big deal. I'll go and I'll come back and tell you everything's fine. So he was not there. And I have to say, I had to compose myself for about half an hour on a park bench before I could drive home.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
And then when I got home and told him, he said, he was smiling and he says, ha ha, very funny. Nice joke. And I said, no, I'm not kidding. And he said, his face dropped. He lost all expression. He says, I want to see pictures.
Proof.
So would it be more common for them to not find if they're sharing a placenta, I would think? Because, so like mine were, I went at 8 weeks and the ultrasound measured me 7 weeks, 5 days, and I mean, almost exactly. But I mean, there was two circles very clearly right next to each other. But I know that Sunny and Brandy both have identicals that share one. So would that be...
You know, to be honest with you, actually, when they share one, so identical twins are probably easier to spot because their proximity to each other is much closer, whereas die-die twins, so non-identical twins, you know, they can have one placenta that attaches at the top of the uterus, one placenta that attaches on the bottom of the uterus. So those are actually sometimes challenging to find, especially, like you said, at like 8 weeks. I could understand how that was probably missed, considering you're not really looking
specifically.
Well, yeah, you're not expecting
it. But those were the identicals.
Yeah, so those two both had identicals that weren't found.
Where were they hiding?
I don't know. That's a question. Where were they? Behind one another, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you all, you know, we recommend 20-week ultrasounds.
Yes.
And your, like, 11-week nuchal translucency ultrasound.
That's how I found mine.
Exactly. And that's usually when we find them. And because, you know, also understanding that when you do your nuchal translucency ultrasound, you're doing it at a center that has very good ultrasound machines. The quality of the images and the resolution is so fantastic. And, you know, not to undermine, you know, general OBGYN offices, but, you know, the ultrasound machines are just simple. They're just little ultrasound machines so that you can see if there's a heartbeat, and that's it. You're not looking for the detail, for the real anatomy. And so when you come to, like, a perinatal center or a radiology center, there's just detail.
Yes. So hopefully they get that referral early on.
Exactly.
I know. I try to make sure everybody goes to their nuchal translucency.
Yeah.
But I do. There is a woman I know who she saw midwives and she only had the 20-week ultrasound, and that's where she found her twin.
Like, oh, ooh, my gosh. Wow. So Dr. Adamczak, another common misperception that we have. I know, like, when we're out in public, you know, a lot of us twin moms, you know, we get the question, Oh, so did you use fertility treatments, IVF? So it seems like there's this big assumption that if you have twins, you must have used fertility treatments. So is that true?
Well, you know, the rate of twinning has significantly increased. So while twins are definitely associated with, you know, assisted reproductive technologies, either IVF or ovulation induction, so on and so forth, you know, they're, let's remember that this technology is not all, you know, it's pretty new, 10, 15 years maybe, let's say, but we used to have twins before IVF as well. And so not all twins are IVF, clearly. Right. There's definitely, you know, other factors that lead to twinning, you know, genetics, age, so on and so forth.
Honeymoons.
That's right.
Yes. And I think now, I mean, as far as identicals, I mean, the identical rate has remained fairly consistent, right? There's really no genetic component to that.
Yeah, there's not. I mean, that's just the egg splitting and you being lucky.
We should probably go in on the super lottery together.
There you go. Okay. Yes.
There you go.
And here's another myth. We've heard that if you're going to be pregnant with twins, you're going to have much more intense pregnancy symptoms, like, you know, morning sickness and swollen feet and the whole bit. So how true is that?
Yes and no. I mean, morning sickness and swelling, I think all of that is so individualized. You know, everybody approaches, you know, a pregnancy very differently. Their bodies react very differently. And it is kind of true, you know, with a twin pregnancy, the amount of hormones that you have, the amount of beta HCG, which is the hormone that, you know, your body first makes during the early part of the pregnancy, is elevated because you've got two babies and usually two placentas. So morning sickness can be a little bit more intense with twins, but just as with singletons, it does subside and, you know, it doesn't necessarily always have to be bad.
So now, I'm going to throw this over to, let's see, Sunny, since she's had experiencing both, have you found it to be different as far as symptoms go between singleton and twin pregnancy?
You know, okay, so I have to preface this by saying that today I'm 34 weeks, so I still have another 4 weeks to go before I deliver, hopefully, fingers crossed. But I will have to say, up to this point, it has, I actually think the pregnancies have been easier. This pregnancy has been easier than my other two, which sounds crazy because everyone looks at me and they're just like, I was on bed rest. I was this. I was that. You know, the amount of weeks you are. And I'm just like, you know, like, I don't know if it's a mental thing, like in my head, because my perinatologist, she's like, well, you know, by the time, you know, you hit your C-section day, you're going to be 38 weeks. Like, that's pretty far. She's like, you can have that as a goal, but let's kind of be realistic here. And I said, no, like in my head, like that's when they're coming. Like I have to think that way, you know? And I think it's kind of the same thing. You know, I already have two little boys at home. You know, my life isn't going to just stop because I'm producing two babies right now. It's just not. So I think a lot of it for me is a mental thing. I did have a little bit of a scare. I don't know. I think I was right about the midpoint of my pregnancy. I was feeling some cramping. And I went in to triage and they basically said I was dehydrated. And they gave me some Tylenol and it went away. So I did have a little bit of a scare there. But other than that, you know, I'm drinking more water now. I'm taking more preventative measures to make sure that that doesn't happen. And, you know, it's just overall, you know, my last baby had gestational diabetes. I don't even have gestational diabetes with this.
Oh,
I thought
wow.
for sure
wow, that's
if I had
great.
It with a singleton,
yeah.
I was going to get it with twins.
Yeah.
Not at all.
You
totally
beat the odds.
Fine. I totally beat the odds.
Good for you.
And yeah. So everything's going well. Now, I don't know, and this is a question for Dr. Adamczak, like, these are girls. I don't know if the gender thing, you know. And
well, it plays into the cholestasis.
Okay.
Absolutely,
really?
The gender thing does. Yeah, it's much more prevalent in boys. You had boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, much
oh,
more prevalent
yeah.
in boys.
That's interesting.
But as far as girls and...
Yeah.
No.
Like, even my heartburn isn't as bad.
Really?
And there's two in there.
That's actually
so I'm thinking
fair.
They're going to come out bald. Isn't that the tail?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just a hair thing.
Yeah.
So they're
yeah.
going to come out bald, I'm convinced.
That's cool. No, that's awesome. You know, and I have to say, in my, you know, twin pregnancy versus my singleton, I mean, I didn't really see that much difference. I mean, surprisingly, yeah. my weight gain was actually pretty close.
Yeah, so was mine.
And I think, I mean, the only difference is that I would think with my twins, I did have a little bit more, you know, edema in my ankles. But that was pretty much it. So, I mean, I was thankful.
My belly is bigger, but I am actually a little bit below the weight I was in my last two pregnancies. So it's just, it's a really weird thing. I don't know if it's, I'm also not as hungry. Maybe that's part of it too. Yeah. Well, I mean, because there's less room in there. They're like,
yeah,
presses
up
my
on
stomach.
Your stomach. I didn't gain very much. I mean, I assumed I would just like balloon up, but I only gained maybe 40 pounds.
Yeah.
About, I don't know, I had every side effect in the book though, but that's just kind of how I am. My parents are convinced that's how I ended up with identical twins, because if something weird can happen, it will happen to me.
Yeah,
but I mean, in terms
I feel
of
the same way.
Yeah, in terms of morning sickness, I was nauseous. The heartburn was the worst though, I think, and that's because it starts earlier with twins, because they more hormones, they move up faster, and so I was throwing up from reflux for months. But I mean, I don't know, I haven't had a singleton yet, so but it was but I mean, I wasn't on bed rest. It was really hard for me to move towards the end, but
that's kind of what I'm experiencing.
Yeah, I just no energy, and I didn't have toddlers to chase after, so I could sit on my couch with ice cream and Grey's Anatomy. I miss that luxury.
You mean I can't do that now?
Strangely, no. Yeah.
Well, and as far as my pregnancies, the first pregnancy, I did get morning sickness around the 6 week mark. I think I only threw up maybe 3 times total the entire pregnancy. Mine was just constant nausea. And it lasted about 5 months.
Wow.
The second pregnancy with the fraternal twins, the morning sickness was much more intense, and I actually had to take medication for it. Mm-hmm. Again, didn't actually throw up, just constant nausea. Mm-hmm. Again, lasted about 5 months before I could go off the medication. Didn't have a lot of heartburn the first time. Second time definitely did, was even on medication for that too, and not a lot of swelling first time. I was full-time working the first time, but I made it a point to put my feet up under my desk as much as I could. Second pregnancy, I was not working and was able to put my feet up a lot more with help at home to take
so
care
we kind of modify for the second one. Right. So I mean, and so to Dr. Adam Stack, it almost sounds like, I mean, looking at both the twin pregnancy and singleton pregnancy, there's a lot of different factors. I mean, lifestyle, age, and maybe the fact
Absolutely.
Maybe we learn something from previous pregnancies and we modify
right.
that. So,
and I think with your first pregnancy, you're probably more, you know, hyper about everything, and kind of like Sunny said, with her second, you know, with her pregnancy now, it's kind of like, oh, she's used to it. She's been through it. She's expecting the nausea and the swelling and the this, that, and the other. So, I think it just all goes back to each pregnancy is so mm-hmm. unique, and, you know, you can never compare one to the other.
Yes. Okay, well, you know, when we come back, we're going to debunk more unsettling myths about twin pregnancy, including a look at bed rest.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. Today we are with Dr. Joanna Adamczak, tackling myths you may have heard about twin pregnancies. Our discussion continues as we discuss whether twin moms should expect to be on bed rest. So I think that was something when I first found out I was having twins that, oh my gosh, I'm going to be on bed rest. So tell me, how often does that happen? Should the, you know, new expectant moms expect that, really?
No. They I don't think you should go into a twin pregnancy expecting to be on bed rest. Sometimes you may have to be, but recommendations for bed rest are very controversial in the medical community. There are going to be some doctors that strongly advocate for bed rest and others that kind of say, hey, listen, you know, you could be on kind of what's called modified bed rest, so kind of decreasing your activities, but you don't actually have to be quote unquote in bed for however many months or weeks. You know, twins are at a higher risk of preterm delivery because the cervix shortens faster. It's, you know, nobody really knows why, but we just know that twins are at higher risk. And so some people think that bed rest actually prevents a preterm delivery. And again, that's very, very controversial.
I did hear something, though, that so if the twins are sharing a placenta and they're in the same sac, So, you know, not
okay,
two
so those
sets,
are
mono.
Is yeah, mono, what? Mono.
Okay, so if that's the case, though,
oh yeah, all
then,
bets are off.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. That's
so
the
I don't even
rule.
Think we should even talk about mono okay. mono twins because they're so
well, they're
so
rare. Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
And yes, when a woman is pregnant with mono twins, very very high risk, and absolutely those twins we usually like to admit to the hospital at around 28 weeks
okay.
of pregnancy on average. It could be a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on how you know, bargain with your perinatologist. but yes, those twins unfortunately do have to be on okay. on bed rest, and it's not really bed rest, it's just intense monitoring.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, just out of all the patients you see, I mean, how many of them end up in bed rest?
Oh, with twins, maybe 30%.
Okay.
And is that bed rest at home or bed rest in the hospital?
It depends, again, on the OB. I prefer, personally, bed rest at home, mm-hmm. Kind of, and what I usually always recommend to my patients, and again, I'm not speaking for all my partners, just for me personally, is kind of modified bed rest. If mm-hmm. I feel that a patient is compliant, they're going to be listening to kind of the signs and symptoms of preterm labor precautions, mm-hmm. then I think it's reasonable to, you know, maybe be evaluated in the hospital for a few days to see if there is any evidence of preterm labor. And if there's not, I feel that it's safe to be able to go home.
Oh, that's great.
See, I would want to stay in the hospital because I'd be like, you know, if I go home, I've got two toddlers to take care of her in the hospital.
So it would need to be there. But again, in the hospital. That goes into, you know, the bartering with your perinatologist. Yes. And, you know, and those are questions that we ask patients very often to say, hey, listen, if you go home, are you going to be on bed rest or are you going to be chasing around kids and
yeah.
cooking and doing this and the other? And I think moms are very honest with us, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and we do get a lot of moms who say, listen, it's impossible for right. me to be on bed rest at home. And if that's the case, then yeah. you'll be on bed rest at the hospital.
Right.
Right. Definitely. Okay. So let's move to the next one. Having twins means you can't have a vaginal birth. So now we talked.
I think we debunked that one. We squashed that one.
All right. I like that.
Me too.
Another myth we've heard is that twins never go full term to 40 weeks.
You know, that one I probably will agree with a little bit about full term. So full term for a singleton is considered 40 weeks. For twins, it really depends on what type of twins you have, identical twins or fraternal twins. So if you have fraternal twins, essentially it's, you know, a brother and a sister or a sister and a sister just kind of sharing a home, sharing a uterus for a few months. And in those types of twins, when the pregnancy is progressing well, you know, both babies are growing appropriately and there are no other risk factors, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure. Studies have shown that delivery between 38 weeks, maybe a little bit, you know, 38 to 39 weeks is really the safest. That's when kind of the morbidity and mortality rate equals that of a singleton at 40 weeks. Then when you're going to monodye twins, so identical twins, those twins share a placenta. And so towards the end of the pregnancy, when you're sharing a placenta, a lot of the blood supply, a lot of the vascular supply will diminish a lot. And so with monodye twins, now what we recommend is delivery between 36 and 37 weeks with very close monitoring twice weekly, what's called antenatal monitoring, non-stress test, because again, the risks are much different mm-hmm. than for identical mm-hmm. twins.
Mm-hmm. I start those non-stress tests on Monday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. I had to have it with my last singleton because I had gestational diabetes. Oh. So I've been there.
So you're
that.
Used to it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah,
there's a lovely
nice.
Recliner in a dim lit room.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
So twins almost always end up in the NICU. What would you say to that?
Well, you know, if you're pregnant with twins and you happen to get cholestasis, then yes, they may end up in the NICU. But, you know, look at Brandy here. I'm assuming.
And mine actually weren't. They went straight home with me.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
And I'm assuming Brandy, yours were not in the NICU. Right, mine because she made it to a great gestational age, you know, full term. And so it really is, if you make it to full term and babies are growing well throughout the pregnancy, then they don't need to go to the NICU.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're premature, then yeah, that's why we have the NICU there. We have our, you know, NICU colleagues that are always part of twin deliveries, and
they will assess the kiddos and see what's going on and see if they need a little bit more extra TLC.
So it really has more to do with prematurity than the twins.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'm not positive about this, but I think at our hospital, less than 36 weeks always goes to the NICU for observation. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's 35 weeks, but I think... you know, they do like a little closer observation, at least for the first 24 hours, mm-hmm, to see kind mm-hmm. of what the transition is.
I think a lot of twin parents, you know, they have these visions of these tiny, tiny little babies, like, oh my gosh, and, you know, like barely hold it. And so I think it sounded like, hey, you know, for especially for all of us who've had, you know, within these 37, 38, 39 weeks, I mean, these are full-term babies.
Yeah. If they have a good weight, then mm-hmm. there's no need to go to the NICU. I mean, the regular postpartum nurses can really help you out and assess the babies perfectly well. And, you know, it's not to say full-term babies don't go to the NICU, but, you know, that's why the nurses are there, to kind of assess and monitor the kiddos and see if there needs to be specialized care.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
I've been having this 35-week number, like, in my head for a while. I mentioned earlier I'm now 34 weeks. And because I asked my perinatologist this question, I'm like, what really makes the difference between going to the NICU or not? Because I'd heard, you know, a long time ago, they used to just be like, okay, babies have to be 4 pounds, at least 4 pounds, or they're going to the NICU. And there were, you know, different ways to diagnose this. And she said it was the 35-week mark. I mean, every baby's different. You got to look, you know, because babies could have complications, even, like you said, full-term babies could have complications. But she said that she noticed a big drop off from a mother coming in at 34 weeks and then coming in at 35 weeks for some reason between it's something about the lungs. There's some sort of maturity going on. And so now I'm at the 34 week mark. I'm like, at least one more week. Woo-hoo! At least one more week we can do this. And then hopefully the NICU's out of sight.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, okay, 35 weeks. Keep them in there. Yes, buns in the oven. I know. Thanks so much, Joanna, for joining us today. And for more information about debunking myths about twin pregnancy, or for more information about any of our expert or panelists, visit the episode page on our website. And this conversation continues for members of our Twin Talks Club. And after the show, Dr. Adam Zak will talk about how we can handle those crazy myths we hear. For more information about the Twin Talks Club, visit our website, twintalks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Here's a question for one of our experts. It comes from Jamie of Pennsylvania. Jamie writes, the hospital I'm delivering at offers a multiples class. Is this the best type of preparation for having twin babies? Would you recommend taking a twin class like this, or is there another way to better prepare?
Hi, Jamie. This is Jenna Rose Feinberg. I'm an IBCLC, mom of twins, and editor of breastfeedingtwins.org. I definitely recommend taking a multiples class at the hospital if it's available. These classes are generally a good source of basic information about a multiples pregnancy and what to expect after your babies arrive. Many classes invite experienced parents of multiples back to class to answer questions for the expectant parents. Class content can vary widely. Some of these classes are more focused on pregnancy-related topics such as diet and preventing preterm labor. Some provide an overview of hospital policies and practices around a multiples delivery at that facility. Some educate parents on postpartum issues, such as breastfeeding and newborn care. Depending on the content of your class, you may want to supplement with other classes on specific topics such as newborn care, breastfeeding, or a hospital tour. You can also reach out to an IBCLC in your area for a private, customized prenatal breastfeeding preparation, if that's not part of the class. Twins clubs and online groups are another great resource. You can join your local twins club or reach out to other moms of multiples online. Local groups often have expectant or new moms meetings you can attend now to get advice for moms who have recently been through the adventure of twin pregnancy, and they can usually offer local resources and referrals. Different groups have different personalities, so be on the lookout for a good fit for your needs. You can also supplement the class offerings with some of the many books about twins that are available. I often suggest Mothering Multiples by Karen Gramada as a great overview, with both pregnancy and postpartum information. This is also the best book on the market for information about breastfeeding multiples. Your local Twins Club may have a lending library or a club sale where you can pick up some other books about twin pregnancy and parenting. Everyone has their own favorites, so flip through a few books and see what seems most helpful. Again, congratulations on your pregnancy. Take it easy, keep them cooking, and enjoy this new adventure. Come visit me online at breastfeedingtwins.org for more information and tips.
So that wraps up our show for today, and we appreciate you listening to Twin Talks. Join in on the discussion by posting your comments on the Twin Talks Facebook page or by calling our voicemail at 619-866-4775. And don't forget to check out our sister shows, Preggy Pals for expecting parents, The Boob Group for moms who breastfeed their babies, and Parent Savers, an online support group for our new parents. Next week, we're going to learn what to expect in the NICU. This is Twin Talks, Parenting Times 2.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.